that Christmas is a time of gift giving. We frantically, many times, search for just the right gift to give to that special someone or someones. I can remember back in the day when we used to go to the mall. Remember that? The Christmas, they call it the Christmas rush. And we'd go up, and I'm kind of weird, but I kind of miss that. You know, shopping online just ain't the same. But we still frantically look for that special gift. I'll just ask a couple questions. How many of you have ever received a really weird gift? Would you raise your hand? Well, some of you. I could tell you about the gift I just received, but I won't do that. But how many of you in all your years have ever received an indescribable gift? Something that is beyond description. Tonight I want to share with you a verse, just one verse, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's verse 15. But in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians about giving. And he was writing to them about giving to the poor, taking an offering and giving to the poor, specifically in Jerusalem. And he was urging them to be good givers, to be good givers. But at the end of his discussion in chapters 8 and 9, he turns his attention from human gift-giving to the divine gift-giving. Jesus Christ is God's greatest Christmas gift. Greatest Christmas gift to us. Paul states that this gift that God gave is indescribable. If you have the King James Version, it says unspeakable. If you have the ESV Version, it says it is inexpressible. He exclaims, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus." It's very interesting. The word indescribable literally means a wonder beyond description. It's a gift whose wonder can never be exhausted and whose story can never be fully told. That's the gift that God gave that first Christmas. So tonight, I just want to consider with you what makes that first Christmas gift indescribable, unspeakable, inexpressible. Three things. First of all, it is indescribable because of the nature of the gift. Jesus is the infinite God-man. We've been hearing about that in sermons from the Gospel of John and even this last Sunday. But think of that. You know, in Scripture, the writers strain to try to explain this. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And she will call his name Emmanuel." A virgin with child? Explain that to me. How can you explain that? That is what we could call, and it's a big term, hapax phenomenon. That means something in history that's only happened one time. Before Christ was born, it never happened. After Christ was born, it never happened. No wonder Joseph struggled when Mary told him she was with child, because it never happened before. a virgin with child. And his name? Emmanuel. God with us. Imagine that. That baby is God. In our congregation, we've had a number of babies this year. And it always amazes me when I see one of these new babies, how tiny they are. I forgot how tiny my boys were when they were born, because they're not tiny anymore. But the babies are so tiny. God in a baby? And that took my thoughts, and I shared this with my wife just, I think, last week. I remembered when we lived in Chicago, and we visited the Museum of Science and Industry in downtown Chicago. And one of the exhibits, I'll never forget it, there were a number of beakers or glass containers, maybe 15 glass containers, and they were on lined up, and they showed from the very start to the very end the baby developing in the womb. It was amazing. Now, I bet you, I don't know if they have that anymore. With the atmosphere today and what goes on, they probably took that down, because you could see the baby and how the baby develops in the womb. But what impressed me the most, I think, was the first beaker, the first glass container. Because in that container, there was a wee little speck. In fact, if they hadn't done something, you would have never seen it. They put an actual pointer in the beaker to point to this little speck, smaller than a period at the end of a sentence. And the writing describing it, the said this, "Our humble beginning." That's how we began. But I thought, God in a baby? But you know what? God was incarnated in Mary. At one time, God was this big. That's indescribable. That's inexpressible. That's unspeakable. John goes on to say, and we've heard this from John and our pastor preaching, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Wait a second. How can the Word be with God, and yet the Word was God? Explain that to me. Now, I know you can say one word, Trinity. I get it. Explain that. Warren Wiersbe used to say, if you try to explain the Trinity, you may lose your mind. But if you explain it away, you will lose your soul. But the Word then became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as the Message version has it, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. He came. He came. You see, God, who is Spirit, God, who is Spirit. The Bible says the Lord, God is Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The God who had been Spirit, but now the eternal Spirit, puts on human flesh. So that, and we've heard this, now to see Jesus is to see the Father, is to see God. How can you begin to fathom something like that? Paul goes on in Colossians 2:9, "In Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." All the fullness. Not part of God. All of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. The baby in the feeding trough was God. Paul says elsewhere, without controversy. You can't fight over this one. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Wow. Can you imagine? I have a little thimble. You know what a thimble is? Some of you might. But I have a little thimble up in my office. I forgot to bring it. Can you imagine trying to get all the water of all the oceans, all the seas into a thimble? Can you imagine trying to do that? You say impossible. But that is much easier to comprehend than to comprehend an infinite God becoming an infant. It's indescribable. It's unspeakable. It's inexpressible. But it happened. Theologians throughout the ages have tried to kind of get their mind around what happened that first Christmas. G.K. Chesterton said, "The hands that formed the sun and the stars now are too tiny to reach to the top of the manger and to the head of the cattle." And he who had been from all eternity a circumference is now a center. Martin Luther said, "He whom the world could not enwrap silently lies on Mary's lap." St. Augustine put it this way. Try to see if you can understand this. "He it is by whom all things are made and was made one with all things, who is the revealer of the Father, the creator of his mother, the Son of God by the Father without a mother, the Son of Man by a mother without a father. The Word who is God before all time, the Word made flesh at a fitting time, maker of Son, made under the Son, ordering all things from the bosom of the Father, hollowing out a day of today from the womb of the mother, remaining in the former, coming forth from the latter, author of heaven and earth, sprung under heaven, out of the earth, unutterably wise in his wisdom, a babe without utterance, filling the world, lying in a manger. He who rules the stars sucks at the breast. He who speaks from the bosom of the Father is silent in his mother's lap. He is reduced to tininess. And yet he has not lost anything of himself. He accepted what was not his, but remains what he was. Behold the infant Christ." Wow. That's indescribable. Trying to describe it. It's unspeakable. It's inexpressible. You see, this gift was indescribable because of the nature of the gift itself. In Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In Christ, undiminished deity united with perfect humanity in one person forever. Oh, the wonder of it all. A second thing, it is indescribable because of the cost of the gift. The cost of the gift. You know, today there are many very expensive gifts that you can buy. I went online, I won't even tell you some of the things that I saw that were crazy, very expensive. But none like this gift, because this gift you can't put a price tag on. All the gold, all the silver, all the precious things in all the universe could not begin to pay for this gift. I want you to first of all consider what it cost the Father, what it cost God. This gift cost God his Son. Folks, I have 4 sons, and there's nobody in this world I'd give one of my sons for. Nobody. Couldn't do that. I gave a little illustration back months ago, but I'm going to give it again. Charlie Kirk's assassin. His name is Tyler Robinson. He's going to go on trial. I think it's either in January or February. But just say that I would go out to Utah and I would say to the judge, "Judge, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take his place. And I want to die for him. I want to take his penalty. I want him to go free. And I will take his penalty. I will go before the firing squad." And the judge looked at me and said, "Mr. Sutherland, I can't accept that. But here's what I'll do. If you will give one of your sons, if you will let one of your sons go before the firing squad. And one more thing, if you will be the one that pulls the trigger, I'll let him go." Folks, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. God did that. God did that. He gave his son. I appreciated Pastor Jeremy's sermon. I learned something from Isaiah 9 when it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And I always looked at that, Pastor Jeremy, as the birth of the Lord, the incarnation of the Lord, is his humanity, a child born, and the Son, his deity. But Pastor Jeremy shared, this is the cradle. Unto us a child is born, but then unto us a son is given, the cross. And I thought about that. That's so true. He didn't just send his son. He gave his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It cost God his son. That's an infinite price. An infinite price. It cost God his son. Consider what it cost Jesus. It cost Jesus everything. It cost him everything. The incarnation is an infinite sacrifice in and of itself. Jesus Christ, who existed with God from all eternity and received the worship and the adoration of the myriads and myriads of angels in heaven, left heaven's throne and came to this world. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. Just the incarnation is. And yet, and Philippians says it this way, even though he were in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, and he emptied himself. And he was found in the form of a bondservant. And it goes on to say, and he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus was born to die. And on the cross, he suffered and died for our sin. He gave his life. This gift is so costly. It cost Jesus everything. This gift cost him his life. Who can measure that cost? It's indescribable. It's unspeakable. It's inexpressible what Jesus did on the cross for us, that we might have this gift. It cost God his Son. It cost Jesus his life. But consider this. What it costs us? It costs us nothing. It costs us nothing. This gift, which is of infinite cost to God and his Son Jesus, there's no way we could ever afford it. But God offers this to us as a gift. Do you see? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's a gift. He offers it to us free. This gift is not just for the rich. This gift is for everyone. Everyone. Romans 6:23 says it this way. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and you know it, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This infinitely precious gift that cost God his Son and Jesus his life is free for the taking. That's inexpressible. That's unspeakable. That is indescribable that we would have that gift. A third thing, it's indescribable because of the recipients of the gift. This gift, let me say this, is not given to good people. This gift is for bad people. God gave heaven's best for earth's worst. God gave heaven's holiest for earth's unholiest. And as I thought about this, I want you to think of with me, God is nothing like Santa Claus. You see, Jesus is infinitely better than Santa Claus. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus lives everywhere. Santa rides a sleigh. Jesus rides the wind and walks on water. Santa comes once a year. Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Santa comes down the chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Santa, you must wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa doesn't know your name. All he can say is, hi, little boy or little girl, what's your name? Jesus knew your name before you knew your name. In fact, not only does he know your name, he knows your address. He knows your history. He knows your future. He even knows the hair on your head, the number of hairs on your head. And tonight he knows your heart. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. Santa, all he can offer is ho, ho, ho. Jesus offers heaven, help, and hope. Santa says, better not cry. Jesus says, cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. And I've got your tears in my bottle. I know. Santa and his helpers make toys. Jesus makes new lives and mends wounded hearts. Santa puts gifts under your tree. Jesus became your gift by hanging on a tree. Santa's making a list and he's checking it twice and he's going to find out if you're naughty or nice. And guess what? If you've been naughty, you ain't getting, only thing you're getting is coal in your stocking. That's how Santa deals with things. If you're bad, no toys, no gifts. Jesus is the gift given not to those who deserve him, but to the people like you and me who don't deserve him. We don't. No wonder Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable, unspeakable, inexpressible gift. And by the way, Santa is a fairy tale. And Jesus is the real deal. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might dare even to die. But God demonstrates, commends his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a gift. What a gift. Thanks be to God, his gift. Infinite God-man comes, costliest gift of all, free to us who don't deserve it. Paul says, thanks be to God. How can we give thanks to God here tonight? Let me suggest this, three things quickly. First of all, tell him thanks, right? It's a great way, you know, tonight, just say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you did for me. Give him thanks. A second way some can thank God tonight, listen to this. You can accept the gift. You see, Jesus Christ and salvation is a gift. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. You can't buy it with money. All that you can do is by faith ask Christ to be your Savior. And again, there's a lot of new people here tonight. I've met a lot of nice people, but I don't know where you are with the Lord. Tonight you need to say thanks be to God for his indescribable gift by asking Jesus to be your Savior. Amen. Ask him, that's all. And the third way you can say thanks, and I can say thanks, is if you've received the gift, give it to someone else. You see, Jesus is the only gift you can receive, and you can give it away 100 times, 1,000 times, and you still have it. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks be to God. I want to end just with this. Back a number of years ago, in Germany, there was a surgeon who was about to perform a surgery on a man, and the man lay before him on the table. And before they administered the anesthesia, the surgeon said this to the man, "Sir, If there's anything, if there's any last thing you want to say before we administer the anesthesia, say it now. For these will be the last words you ever say on planet Earth. And the man who lay on the surgery table knew what the doctor meant, because the man had cancer of his tongue. And the doctor was going to cut his tongue out. If you have any last thing to say, now's the time to say it. If that were you on the table, you could only say one thing. This is your last thing to say. What would you say? Well, the man paused and he thought. And then he said these words. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Would you bow your heads with me, please? And I just want to give you an opportunity right now. We want to say thanks to God. If you've already received that gift, would you just take a moment, thank Him right now for Jesus. Thank Him for your eternal life in Christ. Thank Him for the sacrifice He made for you, for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight and you've never opened that gift, maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you've been in church, but you've never received Christ as your personal Savior. Would you admit to Him right now that you're a sinner? Just tell Him. Would you thank Him for dying for your sins? Acknowledge that He's the God-man who died in your place on the cross. Would you acknowledge that to Him? He died, and 3 days later, He came back from the grave. Would you tell Him you believe? And then just now, ask Him to come to your life. Receive Him by faith. Ask Him to come and save your soul. Receive the gift. It's indescribable. It's unspeakable. It's inexpressible when you receive Christ. And you will right now think of somebody. If you receive that gift, who do you want to share Him with? Is it a family member you're going to gather with? Is it a neighbor? Pray for that person. Lord, tonight we thank You for this gift, God. We're so undeserving. Lord, but You gave Your Son for me, for us. The wonder of it all, Lord. We're going to be thanking You and praising You throughout all eternity for the message of the Christmas, the cradle, and the cross. Lord, thank You for what You have done. We bless Your holy name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.